Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
All right, here we go.
Here's John Williams.
Got a little trivia question for you. First, thanks again for tuning in. This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are on weekdays from 1 to 3, Saturdays 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Tomorrow, actually, Saturday, I'll be out at the Northwestern game. Come party with us before. I'll be there at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. to 10, I'll be chiming in on Lou Manfredini's Mr. Fix-It show. Our House Smarts guy is going to be doing his show from the studio, but I'll be bringing you all of the color and fun from the Northwestern home opener tomorrow. That'll be from 9 to 10. 10 to 10:30, I'll do a little bit of my show, and then pregame coverage starts at 10:30 with an 11 o'clock kickoff. Dave Bennett ready with the call. The undefeated Northwestern Wildcats are at home tomorrow, so we'll be out there for that. What else did I want to mention before we get rolling? Oh, yeah, you can also check us out as the Mincing Rascals. We do a podcast each week. I don't know if you're a regular podcast listener, but this was judged the best podcast in the city of Chicago. And you know what? It was pretty good this week. Steve Bertrand, Eric Zorn, the columnist from the Tribune, and Scott Stantis, the editorial cartoonist, spent some time talking about Rahm Emanuel, the Jason Van Dyke trial, and then Crazy Town USA, the presidency of Donald Trump. We covered all of those subjects. We started with the Chicago stuff. I'll play back a little of that a little later on. But in the meantime, do subscribe to The Mincing Rascals. Okay, Steve Bertrand, Violetta, anybody that wants to play the game, first tell me who is singing this song.
Ask me what I am. Don't ask me what I hope to find.
That's easy.
It is?
Burt Reynolds.
Ding, 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 ding.
Don't ask me.
You've heard this song before?
No, but it just fit if you were playing it today and asking.
He cheated.
Don't ask me if I want the world.
After Deliverance and the Cosmo magazine cover,
don't ask me what I'm gonna be.
They threw a record deal at him and he said, sure, I'll sing songs.
Well, this is worse than I thought it would be.
It doesn't sound like him, does
no,
it?
No.
A lot of reverb, a lot of production values. It's sort of what they used to accuse a lot of stars of. And then the orchestra, they ask me what I am. So that's the Burt Reynolds tune. Now, the way I imagined this was nobody was going to guess right away. Someone would call in, and then I would ask them a bunch of trivia questions about Burt
Reynolds. I'm sorry. So I shouldn't have jumped.
Now it has to be you and Violetta. Okay, so that was Burt Reynolds. Okay, Mr. Burt Reynolds expert, here's your next question. How about this one?
Yep.
Where did he play college football? 312-981-7200. Get it right, I'll give you a
Tennessee.
Prize. Negative. 312-981-7200. Tell me where Burt Reynolds played football, I'll give you a prize.
Oklahoma.
Negative. How about this one, you guys? What was the name in the movie Longest Yard on the back of the team uniforms? That is, in the Longest Yard, where the inmates played the cops or the guards.
So what was the inmates' team name?
Yes.
No, I have no idea.
Well, Violetta, you haven't seen the movie, so you know what?
Well, I can guess.
Absolutely, you can. If you guess, I'll be shocked, but go ahead and guess. So last night, like many Americans, I was clicking around looking for Burt Reynolds movies, and there was a whole bunch of them, right? When you dial it in, all these Burt Reynolds movies came up, but Smokey and the Bandit and Cannonball Run and all of the, you know, silly movies that he's famous for, you had to pay for. I had to rent or buy any of the Burt Reynolds movies except Boogie Nights, which is the most recent and most critically acclaimed. You would have thought that, hell, they'd give you Smokey and the Bandit for free and charge you for Boogie Nights, but it was the reverse. I could watch Boogie Nights, but I had to pay for everything from Deliverance to that point. I don't understand that. I don't know how that works. Let's go to Dan. You're on WGN Radio. Dan, what's the answer to the question, please?
Yeah, Burt played football at Florida State.
Bonus points for you now if you can tell me what was the name of the team that he played for in Longest Yard.
You got me there. I saw the movie a long time ago.
Fair enough. That's
but
right.
I don't remember.
Hey, hold on a second, though. We're going to give you a prize anyway. I've got a pizza or a calendar or something to throw at you. In the meantime, let's talk to Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there?
I'm here.
Do you know the name of the uniform, the name of the team that the inmates were on in Longest Yard?
I do not remember that one. No, I don't.
Did you say Mean Machine?
I did say Mean Machine.
Mean Machine is right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And the warden, the bad guy in that movie, was Eddie Albert. Who knew? Okay, how about this one? In the movie Smokey and the Bandit, Steve, you can keep playing if you know the answer to any of these. Who was Burt Reynolds' female co-star in Smokey and the Bandit?
Oh, that's an easy one.
Steve, go.
Sally Field.
Sally Field, ding, 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 ding. Okay, how about this one? Who played Sheriff Buford T. Justice in that movie? Who is the sheriff?
I can tell you.
Go ahead.
Jackie Gleason.
Jackie Gleason, ding, ding, ding. You're not really good at this trivia game, are you, Rick?
Not really.
Come on, Rick, you can do it.
Thanks for the call, Rick. All right, Steve, here's another one for you. And think of all of the movies that Burt Reynolds could have starred in but chose not to. He is famous for not taking roles that either he didn't want or he didn't think he was right for or he thought were too much work. I'll run a few of them by you. You tell me what is the role that he turned down. He could have been in Star Wars.
Han Solo?
Correct.
Is this true or is this the Saturday Night Live skit?
I do have the Saturday Night Live skit.
I thought that was... Okay.
What's the matter with that?
Nothing. I thought...
You don't think that's true, that he turned down a bunch of famous roles?
I'm not sure that... I don't know.
Yeah, no, he did. He could have been Han Solo. In Pretty Woman...
Richard Gere.
He could have had the Richard Gere part, whose name was... Edward Lewis. He could have been Edward, the rich guy in Pretty Woman, but he didn't want that. R.P. Murphy and One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest was played by... He could have had the role that was
Jack Nicholson?
Famous by Jack Nicholson. And the Bruce Willis character, John McClane, he could have been the star of the Die Hard series.
What's your level of confidence? Is this really true?
It is all
true. The Die Hard series?
Well, wasn't there more than one Die Hard?
Yeah.
Die Hard 1 and 6?
But they're not in the same age range at all.
He could have been, he could have had the, whatever parts that Bruce Willis played, he could have played. In Die Hard, but he didn't want it. How about this one? He was one quarter what Indian nation? What was his...
Cherokee.
He was Cherokee.
And that is the only Indian nation I know.
I was going to say, name another one.
Watsika? Yep. Chicopee?
He could have been Chicopee? Or, well, anyway, Cherokee's the right answer. Okay, true or false? True or false? Dogged by paparazzi and tabloids throughout the 1980s, Burt used his private helicopter to drop horse manure on a Christmas display located outside the headquarters of the National Enquirer in the late 1980s. At the time, it contained America's largest Christmas tree. Burt later explained, "I didn't think it was right that they had the largest Christmas tree in the United States. They were always publishing pictures or stories he didn't like, so he rented a helicopter and dropped horse manure on the Christmas tree in front of the National Enquirer." True or false?
I'm going to say false.
Violetta?
True.
It is true. How have I not heard that? But that's in Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, which is usually a pretty good source. How about this? He was the co-owner of a USFL football team. What was the name of the team that he was a co-owner of in the USFL?
I want to say it was a Jacksonville franchise, was it?
It was, I think it might have been.
Yeah, I don't. That's as close as I can get.
It was, if it was the Jacksonville team, they were the Bandits, as in Smokey and the Bandits. What was Burt Reynolds' father's occupation?
Postman.
Negative.
Priest.
He was a police chief.
Mm.
That's basically a postman.
It is a civil servant, but it was actually the same. It was Burt Reynolds' father that Jackie Gleason based, I guess, his character on in Smokey and the Bandit. You know, the always frustrated good old boy Southern sheriff. That was Burt Reynolds' real-life dad, and Jackie Gleason based his character on that. Burt had one adopted son and two wives. Name both wives.
Judy Carnes.
Oh, that's a hard one. And
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Lonnie Anderson. How about this one? Norm MacDonald played Burt Reynolds, right? Was that Norm MacDonald that did him in the Saturday Night Live Celebrity Jeopardy skit? Which is just so funny. I mean, when yesterday we were thinking about Burt Reynolds movies and appearances and stuff, my mind went there. I know that wasn't Burt, but it was just such, it was so Burt Reynolds that it made me think of it, you know? Here's the question from that. What was the name, the nickname, that Reynolds' character used for himself on that skit?
I have no idea on that.
Do you understand my question? So they write in their name, and instead of writing in Burt Reynolds, you know, when they're on Jeopardy, so that it appears on the little stand in front of them, but he didn't use the name Burt Reynolds. What was the name he used for himself on Celebrity Jeopardy?
Birdie.
Birdie is wrong.
Oh, I thought you were going to say right. I'm like, wow, just threw that one out there.
No, here's the correct answer.
And finally, back again, Burt Reynolds in a commanding lead with $14.
Hey, check out the podium. Look at this.
Mr. Reynolds has apparently changed his name to Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, that's right. Turd Ferguson. It's a funny name.
Great. Let's take a look at the final board. And the categories are potent potables, a petit déjeuner. That category is about French phrases, so let's just skip it.
Hey, I speak a little French. You're an ass bite. Pardon my French.
It's pretty good. And you know what happens is when you go to YouTube and you dial in SNL Celebrity Jeopardy or Burt Reynolds Celebrity Jeopardy or whatever, you get to watch that, but then there's that column on the right that has all of the related videos. So now you're looking at all of the Celebrity Jeopardy videos from Saturday Night Live with Sean Connery, Tom Hanks makes a cameo as himself. You just can't stop watching those things. When you think of the funniest SNL skits, you know, that had a run, boy, that one is in the top five for me.
And the set's just a couple blocks from us.
Yeah, actually, that's right. We all got a chance to actually stand there because it's here in Chicago at the Broadcast Museum. The Saturday Night Live, what would you call it?
Experience.
Experience is up and running. We've all done our shows from over there, and it's a fun place and time, that's for sure. Okay, just a few Burt Reynolds fun facts as we all continue to remember him today. I was glad that you guys were talking about it, Steve, you and Bill and Wendy. And the idea that he was the guy a lot of guys wanted to be or be around is so true when you think about Burt Reynolds. Fair enough. Okay, here's the news click for today. Elif, what's the news click, please?
Apparently, some people in the Trump administration are secretly working diligently to frustrate parts of the agenda. This is A. Good. Adults in the room should protect us from his impulsiveness. B. Bad. It's wrong for bureaucrats to work against the wishes of the people.
Well, the right answer is B. Technically, the right answer is B. It's wrong for bureaucrats to thwart the agenda of the duly elected president. In the Sun-Times editorial, we talked to Tom McNamee yesterday, even as he was writing it, is right. He said, imagine if this was Barack Obama and the generals not liking his foreign policy didn't do what he said.
We have civilian leadership of the military for a reason.
The people get to decide these things, not the generals. And if the people want Barack Obama to be the president and his foreign policy isn't perfect, you have to live with that, and we did. If the people wanted Donald Trump to be president, don't talk to me about the Electoral College. Donald Trump wins the election, then we get to have or we have to deal with his decisions. And for people that are in the administration, even with the best intentions, to go, yeah, let's not show him that, or let's hide that from him, or let's just not do it, that's fundamentally wrong. So the right answer is B. Is it right or wrong for those people to do this? Even though you and I want A.
Well, even if you want A, though, I don't want a piece talking about how you're going behind the president's back. You can make that decision in the meeting by yourself, in your head, what you're going to present or not, but you don't have to tell people that you're doing it.
That's interesting, because that sort of thwarts their own efforts. Say these people in Washington, D.C. have been and plan on doing what they think is best, even though it's not what Donald Trump wants, right? They've been doing that. Him telling us that pretty much ensures that it's going to be harder for them to do that now. Better we not know and they just be doing it.
Right. You question the reasoning then.
But in the meantime, the president now wants everybody, or he wants a lot of people, he wants a lie detector test. I would be so nervous, I think, if I knew my job or the nation was somehow on the line, that I would flunk the lie detector test just because I was, you know, nervous about it. What if I do fail? Even though it's not me, but what if I do fail? And that's the sort of body chemistry that you throw off when, in fact, you're lying. Well, I'm not the bad guy. I'm just acting like the bad guy, which is how bad guys act. It's not me, I promise. So I'd fail the test. Well, that's the news click today, and I'd like you to vote at WGNradio.com. You'll see it. We'll post it on our Facebook page, too. But the question is, some people in the Trump administration are working to frustrate his agenda. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I wonder how we're going to go on this one. The number is 312-981-7200. Call or text now. This is WGN.
Ask me what I am. Don't ask me what I hope to find. Ask me what I found.
That isn't real good. But nice try, Bert. It's 128. Fred, you're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say, Fred? You're on the air.
Yeah, John. I don't believe in going to the New York Times anonymously or doing anything like that. But in a case that a president is losing his mental faculties, just say that. I don't believe the people around him should just do what he says. I mean, there's a point where you have to draw the line where he's not mentally fit or mentally right.
But then they have a mechanism to do that. They
what the 25th Amendment?
Yeah, which or is, they should go to the Congress or.
But you know, I get it. I mean, that's the thanks for the phone call. I'm glad you joined us, Fred. I mean, but that's the split, right? You go, okay, in principle, I get it, and it's not a small principle. It's the United Flippin' States of America. It's the Constitution. It's the duly elected president. This is no small affair. But what if that same guy said, I want to attack North Korea tomorrow? Are we supposed to do that, too? I mean, at some point, you have to, as a human being, have to is maybe not the right way to put it, but you might say, you know what? I know, but I'm not. I'm not going to do that. And evidently, a lot of people have already made that decision.
Okay, but the way that Peace says, they've made that decision over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So the question is, if it's consistent that he's not capable, then maybe the next thing to come up is North Korea. You should stand up and do something about it now, right?
Before it escalates.
You continue to enable it if you don't try to stop it.
I'm sorry, you should do something about North Korea now. We should do what about North Korea?
If what this op-ed writes is true, that people are slow walking or not doing things the president says,
yeah.
Maybe they're fairly minor things. I mean, assassination of Assad is not minor, but
yeah.
If you continue to sort of slow walk these things, one day there's going to be a big thing. Maybe it is going to be the invasion or an attack on North Korea or something like that.
Right.
And you've been covering up for months. It doesn't serve the country well when the big thing comes. I mean, if you believe that the person is not capable of the job, then you need to stand up and do something about it.
That is, call for his dismissal.
Coordinate? I don't know.
You're talking the 25th Amendment here, right?
Convene the cabinet and do something, or yeah. Speak out to the Congress. Tell the, you know, in mass, go to the Congress and say, I work here and this man's not capable. You need to do something because you're a check. I mean, just to continue to say we're the adults,
right?
I don't know that that's serving the country well.
That's interesting. I mean, so suppose something catastrophic does happen because this guy is just so unpredictable and impetuous. If he does something rash, and you've been covering it up,
enabling him a little bit, yeah,
then that's going to be on you, Mike Mattis. That's going to be on you, Mr. Pompeo. That's going to be on you, Mr. Kelly. Mm. Okay, that's our news click. We're asking you to sound
Kelly.
Off on it.
What no, did Kelly, I say? I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah, I'm thinking of. I said Mr.
You did. You Chief of Staff Kelly.
I meant Mr. Kelly, but I was thinking of Ms. Sanders. But yeah, it'll be on all of them. Oh, by the way, you know, the people who played along in our little Burt Reynolds trivia game, we gave them a pair of tickets to Legally Blonde, the musical. It's a high fashion kickoff at the Paramount Theater's Broadway season, playing now through October 21st. Tickets at ParamountAurora.com or call the box office at 630-896-6666. Desktop indoor weather station. We gave them that too from American Weather Makers. Call 855-955-HVAC. The reason that I'm not a big fan of the 25th Amendment, we've been talking about this just a little bit in a roundabout way this afternoon, is because I've been looking at it again. And yeah, this is my understanding that you can't toss the president out because he's inept or crazy unless half or more than half of his cabinet agrees. So the executive officers of the president's administration, all of those guys that pledge their allegiance to him in that big round table that he does sometimes, more than half of them have to say he can't do it anymore. The vice president has to sign off on this too. Have you seen Mike Pence's eyes when he looks at Donald Trump? That guy's not going to sign off on this. If the president wants back in, say they kick him out for a few days, those people have to... I know, we got to take a break.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
You know...
Here's John Williams.
I do that. Doesn't always work, though. Hi, this is John. Of all of the things that we said in the last half hour, make it hour. Boy, we've said a lot. Pause for a minute and ask yourself, what's the most controversial thing John said? I'll have an answer in just a minute. We're here until 3 o'clock weekdays, 1 to 3. It's the John Williams show. And on Fridays, we do something called The Bright Side, where that's where you get a chance to call in. Tell us the good news in your world while you're smiling, and we'll all smile with you. But a great way to start the weekend. We'll do that in about 35 minutes. So I'm just looking at the text line. What is the thing that people disagree with me the most? Want to guess on that? Is it the thing about the 25th Amendment? Is it the thing about the Sun-Times editorial that... it's wrong what that anonymous administration official did. You shouldn't be thwarting the president's efforts. Nope, it's not that.
It's Elon Musk.
Nope, it's
Burt
not that.
Burt Reynolds singing?
It was my saying that Kanye West is a genius. Hey, John, capital letters. Kanye's not a genius. Many exclamation points. John, Kanye has not impacted music like Beethoven or Mozart. This one says, did Steve actually compare Kanye to Beethoven? I wrote back, yes. 708, really, King John? Kanye, a genius? Note, like a sad loser to many of us. And stuff like that. So, Kanye,
you
if you're listening.
You can't just throw around genius, you know?
I guess.
You got to reserve that.
I guess. Our news click is not about that, though. If you go to WGNradio.com or like me on Facebook, I'm WGN King John on Facebook. Here is today's news click. Elif.
Apparently, some people in the Trump administration are secretly working diligently to frustrate parts of his agenda. This is A. Good. Adults in the room should protect us from his impulsiveness. 78%. B. Bad. It's wrong for bureaucrats to work against the wishes of the people. 21%.
My heart says A. My head says B. I think B's the right answer on that. Tough one, huh? Go to WGNradio.com and be part of that conversation there. You know, I was attributing this to the president. I think I had that wrong. The idea that they would have a lie detector for the staff to figure out who wrote this thing. I'm reading from the newspaper in Lexington. I believe it's the Herald. That would be Rand Paul's home state in Kentucky. And they write, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, ever in search of a spotlight. So he's there, Jesse Jackson, has suggested using lie detector tests to identify the author of the anonymous op-ed in the New York Times.
And this is the biggest champion of civil libertarians in the Congress.
So hard to be a conservative or a liberal these days.
But he's neither, really. He's the civil. He doesn't like the surveillance programs. You know, he's the guy who stands up for civil liberties, yeah. Like his dad. And it's really weird that he's coming out for lie detector tests.
I called a labor lawyer to at least answer the question for us. Can you do that? I mean, how reliable are those? And if you flunked a lie detector test, could they fire you? Federal government, private sector? In the past, we've asked Ruth Major, who is a labor lawyer at Major Law, to join us, and we found her on the phone, and I'm going to bounce that off of her. Ruth, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. What's the answer to that question generally?
Well, so there is a federal statute that prohibits employers from giving employees a polygraph test, but it excludes the federal government and other individuals.
Said somebody.
Now, you know, some employees, if they're union, you know, they have protection. But if you're talking about the top echelon that's, you know, carrying out the agenda of President Trump and part of his, you know, inner circle, those people are probably going to have no protections from termination. And, you know, I would say, given the, you know, statements in this op-ed, he would certainly have a right to investigate to find out who is, you know, trying to frustrate his agenda or interfere with his agenda.
Yeah. Well, does he even need an explanation or a justification? I suppose if you wanted to, you could just say, I'm going to give you all lie detector tests and I'm going to ask you whatever I want, and if you flunk the test, you're out. I mean, I presume they serve at the will of the president, or...
Exactly. I mean, exactly, he could do that. I mean, and obviously the question is this, you know, is this the way you want to work with your, you know, your leadership team? And how do you, you know, what kind of a relationship do you want to have with them? So that's not a legal issue. It's just a, is it a good practice to be, you know, putting all your employees, you know, under the polygraph and under an investigation like that. But I'm not aware of any law that would protect those federal employees from being required to sit for a polygraph if that's something that he decided to do.
What if something was missing at work? This is a private employer now, you know, WGN Radio or Jiffy Lube. Something's missing there. The coffee pot's gone, and we're going to give everybody a lie detector test to see who stole it. Can we do that?
Private employer can't use the polygraph in those situations, but what I think a lot of private employers probably do is try to get the police involved and try to see if they can do a polygraph. And, of course, even with the police, you can refuse to take a polygraph test.
Oh, you can? Really? If you're pulled over for, well, now I'm thinking of, you know, a breathalyzer test. I can refuse that too, though, right?
I'm not a criminal defense attorney, so I'm not sure what the consequences are for that. But I do know that a lie detector test is something that people are not required to sit for. The other, I don't know, because driving is a privilege, and you might just lose your license if you don't cooperate. I'm not positive.
What do you know about the accuracy of lie detector tests?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of, interestingly enough, when I was in law school 28 or 29 years ago, I wrote an article on this, on the statute, because the statute was new at the time. And obviously, there's a lot of questions about it because, you know, sometimes people are very honest people, and they just get nervous being questioned. You know, even if they didn't do anything wrong, they get nervous that they're being questioned by authority. And some people are sociopathic and they can lie and have nothing shows up. So, you know, I think they're not, in my opinion, they're not, you know, very reliable. But
that's an interesting point. It goes both ways. Like, I imagined me, an innocent guy, just acting so guilty I'll flunk the test. But more to the point, Rod Blagojevich could probably pass a test that said, did you do anything wrong? And he so believes that he's innocent that he could persuade himself. He could persuade the machine, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, you see a lot of, you know, even in these cases, these Innocence Project cases where people are wrongly convicted and, you know, they may have failed polygraphs and they actually admit to having done crimes that they never did. So, you know, people react differently when they're under pressure. And I think those tests, they can't tell the difference sometimes between somebody who's very nervous because they're just nervous or somebody who's nervous because they did something wrong.
I suppose you could volunteer to it, too, right? Like, if everybody suspected that you were the guy, you could say, listen, I'm cool, calm, and collected. I'll volunteer. I'll have somebody administer a polygraph test, ask me if I wrote the op-ed. I'll pass it, and I'll prove to you, at least to the efficacy of that test, that I'm not guilty. I mean, you could volunteer that, right?
Exactly. And the polygraph, I mean, again, I'm not a criminal defense attorney, but I do know that law enforcement agencies will even just use somebody's response to help them determine whether they want to continue pursuing somebody. So when somebody says, no, I won't take it, then they kind of stay on the radar. When somebody says, okay, I'll take it, and then they pass it, a lot of times I think law enforcement sort of writes that person off because they agreed to take it and they passed it.
Sure.
So I think volunteering or agreeing, you know, easily to take that does, I think, in and of itself, tell whoever is looking into something. And in this case, you know, the Trump administration.
Yeah. Okay. So let's just wrap it up with that then. Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky, says that they should administer a lie detector test to members of the staff to see who wrote that, and if they want to, the employees of a federal agency. Of the administration of the White House do not have the protection you do in the private sector. They could do that if they wanted to.
I believe so, yes, because the statute that covers this, and you know, again, and I always have to say things like this, but there's a myriad of laws out there and a myriad of, you know, government standards but I don't know of anything that would prevent the Trump administration from going down that path under these circumstances with what was said in this op-ed, with the people who are at the top level, who serve, like you said, at his will or at his pleasure, to try to weed out, you know, who the people are who are working against the agenda that his administration has set.
I appreciate your time. Nice to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, nice talking to you, too. Bye.
Likewise, that's Ruth Major, Major Law. She's a labor lawyer in Chicago. Listen to this. I don't know if you've ever taken a lie detector test, but evidently someone from the 815 area code did. They said, hey, John, three questions that I had 40 years ago on a polygraph. Number one, do you hate your mother? Number two, have you ever smoked marijuana? Number three, have you ever stolen anything from any employer you've ever worked for? Paperclips, pens, papers. The needle went offline. I presume that means it pegged on what? What does that mean?
Did the needle go flying off the chart?
Yeah, I mean, so in other words, you were totally lying when you, because you, first you ask a question like, do you hate your mother? And you don't hate your mother. Nobody hates their mom, right? Hopefully. So you're going to say, do I hate my mother? No, I don't hate my mother. And it's going to be over in the green. Good, good, good. Now we know that you're a truth teller, that you can tell a truth, and it'll reflect that. Have you ever smoked marijuana? I don't know what they were asking here, to see if the person smoked pot or if they were a thief. But now, have you ever smoked marijuana? If you have and you say no, presumably it'll go to the right, into the red. In this case, when asked that, and have you ever stolen anything, the needle fell out of the machine. But, you know, the third question, have you ever stolen anything from an employer, is kind of nebulous, isn't it? Paperclips, pens, I mean, I've never stolen anything from an employer. Have I ever taken a ream of copy paper home? Yeah. Have I ever walked off with a paperclip or pen? I mean, the correct answer to number three has to be yes. I would say yes, just because I'd be covered then, right? Yeah, sure I have. What? Well, probably some paper. Maybe a ruler. Maybe a Sharpie. I was doing some work at home. I needed some copy paper. I don't even know if that's theft. That's working at home. That's called rationalization. Hey, Aleph, what's the news click today, and how are we doing on that, by the way?
Apparently, some people in the Trump administration are secretly working diligently to frustrate parts of his agenda.
Yeah.
This is A. Good. Adults in the room should protect us from his impulsiveness. 78%. B. Bad. It's wrong for bureaucrats to work against the wishes of the people. 21%.
Okay, so we're about a little more than 3/4 of you are saying that that person did the right thing, huh? The Mincing Rascals has been judged the best podcast in the city of Chicago. It stars our Steve Bertrand, Eric Zorn from the Tribune, and Scott Stantis this week. It was a pretty good episode, I thought, particularly since the guys were really going at what the motivation was for Rahm Emanuel to step down as mayor of Chicago. Let me get you a clip of that in a minute. This is WGN. 15 minutes from now, we've got some great suggestions for you. What's going on in the Chicago area this weekend? Our Fun Thing to Do segment. And then the bright side. You'll call in, tell us some good news. It's a hug that works on the radio every single time. What a great way to start your weekend with our Bright Side. Folks calling in and saying good stuff. By the way, this week on Chicago's Best, the team's bringing you the best bites on the streets. Catch Chicago's Best Street Food this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their Dental Institute, Family Medical Institute, Speech Language Institute, and Physical Therapy Institute. They got an eye institute, too. At these clinics, you'll receive exceptional care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Find out more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic is your family's home for health care. Thanks to the texter from 630 who said, "Hey, John, there's a software that may help figure out who wrote the op-ed." And then there's a story here. Software helps identify anonymous writers or helps them stay that way. You can mask your writing. But there's some folks from Drexel University who released a couple of tools. It sounds like a software. And they say, here's what you do. You take samples of your staff's writing, and then you take the thing that's in question, and you drop it in there, and then it goes, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what it does, but it does whatever it does, and then it tells you who the most likely candidates are. Mike Pence says it's not him. Everybody that's close to the president says it's not him. You know, just think about what that must be like this week. I wonder if the writer of that essay is enjoying it because he knew that there'd be this, you know, real witch hunt. They're going to try and find him, find him.
He's like hiding in a closet giggling.
I know, I know.
Or starting to get a flop sweat. Because,
right. Oh, jeez. What did I do? Yeah. Because that person knows that if they're found out that they're going to lose their job and their life will forever be different. They, you know, they're the deep throat of this administration.
It's so fifth grade in so many ways. I mean, I think using the term lodestar, because there's only one other person who uses it,
yeah.
Right? So they're trying to set up, I mean, in my view, they're trying to make people think Mike Pence did it.
You know, I thought about that, though. You say that's juvenile, but I think it was brilliant for Mike Pence to do that. Here's what Pence did.
So Pence wrote it?
Okay. Yes. It's a double reverse psychology.
I gotcha.
That's, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going to go, oh, well, of course it wouldn't be Pence. They dropped that in there to make it look like Pence. That's what Pence would do to, in fact, throw you off the trail. That might be triple reverse psychology.
Inconceivable. That's like the Princess Bride. You want me to take this one?
Hey, listen, the Missing Rascals, starring, among other people, that Steve Bertrand, we're trying to figure out what the motivation was for Rahm Emanuel to step down from his job. So here's Eric Zorn and the rest of the gang chiming in on that topic.
So I think that when you sort of looked at the next 4 years and you just thought, you know what, I don't have the heart for this, I don't have the stomach for this, I don't want to do it anymore.
Are the same thing to me.
Yes. I mean,
I'd rather spend time with my family than do that.
Yes, I mean, I don't think he's going to be like, you know, like Michael Jordan, where he said, I want to spend time with my family, and then all of a sudden his family, he just, you know.
Well, I give him great credit. He didn't really say he wanted to spend time with his family, did he?
Well,
I
mean, he did. Doesn't he say people say that? That's part of his comments.
People always say that. And then he said, of course, my family already left the house.
Right.
That's true. They are empty nesters. But I
think it was kind of a nod to how empty that statement usually is.
Oh, yeah, but I hate that statement. What is your take on it then? Why did he do it?
I think what Eric said, he probably looked at it and his kids are gone and it's time to spend some time with his wife maybe.
Oh,
but
come on. I'm sorry. No, this guys like him don't do that. There's something at play here. There's got to be. Yes, he kicked the can down the road on debt and lobbed billions of dollars on the city. That payment's going to blow up. The pension payment is going to balloon and blow up. But, I mean, you can't say you're going to spend time with your family when there's no family to spend time with.
Look, just because the kids are in college now, you could take a road trip with your wife and go see them at one of their schools, and you can have a leisurely weekend. You could walk on the beach hand in hand with your spouse. You can just have the life that you've never had. He said, I told my wife when we got engaged that I would never run for office, and then I did it 6 times, or something like that.
I'm not saying he's done. He's never going to work or do anything again.
He's not going to run for office again.
No, I don't think so either.
No. Scott is alluding to the possibility that there's...
Of course he's going to run again.
No.
For what?
The Mincing Rascals were mincing on the mayor's motivation.
And Scott had his conspiracy cap on.
Oh, my God. So Stantis had it all laid out about how, in fact, this is Rahm's play to become the next president of the United States via a Senate appointment. You'll hear it and enjoy it. He's roundly ridiculed by the rest of us for it, which is usually what they do to me. Subscribe to The Mincing Rascals. It's 2:28 on WGN. Real quick, let's do this. Yesterday we played Kamala Harris talking to Justice Kavanaugh about whether or not he had ever spoken to anybody in the Trump team or the Trump law
firm. The Kazowitz and something law
right.
firm.
Right. He was like, who believe, what believe? He wasn't tracking. But she was trying to find out if he had ever gone behind the doors, you know, sort of doing an end around. What if Trump's team said, listen, here's the deal. We'll make you a Supreme Court justice, but you've got to agree that if something ever comes up, impeachment or criminal charges against the president, that you'll go light on us. That's kind of in his wheelhouse anyway. But did they ever have a meeting to sort of set that up? So this was part of the first round of conversation they had.
Kasowitz, Benson, and yeah. Torres, which is the law firm founded by Mark Kasowitz,
yeah.
who is President Trump's personal lawyer. Have you had any conversation about Robert Mueller or his investigation with anyone at that firm? Yes or no?
Well, is there a person you're talking about?
I'm asking you a very direct question. Yes or no?
I need to know the... I'm not sure I know everyone who works at that law firm.
I don't think you need to. I think you need to know who you talked with. Who'd you talk to?
I don't think I'm not remembering, but I'm happy to...
It's a really specific question.
I would like to know the person you're thinking of, because what if there's...
I think you're thinking of someone and you don't want to tell us.
Ooh, goes the crowd. So that was day one. So the next day, they're back at it again, trying to find out, just tell us, did you ever talk to somebody from that firm to sort of set the template for what might happen down the road?
But I will ask you again, and for the last time. Yes or no? Have you ever been part of a conversation with lawyers at the firm of Kasowitz, Benson, Torres about Special Counsel Mueller or his investigation? And I asked, were you ever part of a conversation? I'm not asking you, what did you say?
Right.
I'm asking you, were you a party to a conversation that occurred regarding Special Counsel Mueller's investigation? And a simple yes or no would suffice.
About his investigation. And are you referring to a specific person?
I'm referring to a specific subject, and the specific person I'm referring to is you.
Now, who was the conversation with? You said you had information.
That is not the subject of the question, sir. The okay. subject of the question is you and whether you were part of a conversation regarding Special Counsel Mueller's investigation.
The answer is no. Okay.
Thank you.
So that's the one.
And it would have been great if you could have said that last night.
Well,
thank you.
Never mind.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay. Fine. But so on the record now, we have a no. I never did that. But I think he was obfuscating a little bit there. I mean, he was trying to say, well, about the investigation, no, I've never had that conversation. I think that is now on the record. Did he ever talk to them about getting somebody out of a speeding ticket, or did he ever have a cocktail with them and talk about the Nationals? Maybe so. But about that, he's on the record as having said no. It's 2:32. Okay, we got some great suggestions for you this weekend. And what's your bright side in the next half hour? You can feel it on a day like this. Thank you, Steve. This is our fun things to do segment. We do it on Fridays before the bright side. We give you some suggestions of things we think are fun to do. You might like to do them too. We usually start with something musical. All right, what are we listening to here, Ms. Garris?
This is Childish Gambino, who is playing tomorrow at the United Center at 7:30, and tickets start at $80.
I like the sound of this, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll stop listening to the music and start to do my job. All right. Violetta Podermetta, give me something to do this weekend.
Oktoberfest is going on in Lincoln Square. I love this party. It's always a good time. There's dancing, music, food. It's at Western and Lincoln today through Sunday, and it's free. If you want more information, go to germanday.com/Oktoberfest.
Bourbon and Barbecue Fest is tomorrow and Sunday. Bourbon and Barbecue Fest. That's tomorrow and Sunday, noon to 10 at 2000 West Belmont. You get in for free, but then you got to pay for a wristband for the bourbon and or the barbecue.
That makes sense.
Not too far from the 606. We were over there last weekend and saw where they were setting up or getting ready for the Bourbon and Barbecue Fest. And then we did the 606, the elevated.
The walkway.
Yeah, we did the old L tracks. And so if you want to kill two birds, you can check that out as well. That's again this weekend.
Probably smells good around there.
Yeah.
Lakeview East Festival, Arts Festival is going on Saturday and Sunday. That is at Belmont and Broadway. Over 150 artists are going to be there with art, music, and food.
Route 66 Classic Cars Show is going to be Sunday. They're doing this in Westmont, noon to 5. You get in for free. Cars on Route66.com has more information.
Up on the north side, we got Stern and Stein's Norwood Park Beer and Wine Tasting Saturday, 3 p.m. to 6:30. That's going to be near Bryn Mawr and Newcastle. Unlimited wine and beer, which that sounds crazy. There's 50 different stands each, $65. And if you want tickets, go to Eventbrite.com.
Which one is that? Which wine fest is
that's
that?
That's Stern and Stein's.
Okay, so then the Windy City Wine Festival is over at the Buckingham Fountain tonight. They started at 5.
Nice.
And they're going to do it again tomorrow as well. Tomorrow, I think it's 3 in the afternoon until 8. Yeah, 3 till 8 tomorrow. They'll start at 5 tonight. I think they have like 300 wines over at Buckingham Fountain. It's $45 in advance. Details at WindyCityWineFestival.com.
A little bit different. The Revolutionary War reenactment is going on. If you like camp life, you get to see a battle. Colonial sites at Cantigri Park in Wheaton. I've always wanted to go to one of these. Their commitment on the battlefield.
Cantini.
Cantini, that's what I meant.
There's a G there, but you're not supposed to say it.
Oh.
Lakeview East Arts Fest starts tonight at 8 o'clock. A community concert. They're going to do it through the weekend. Belmont and Broadway are ground zero for this one. 10 to 7 each day. The Lakeview East Arts Fest.
Donut Fest is going on in Lincoln Park Zoo. That's on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. $30 tickets at Eventbrite.com.
So you got the Angels playing the White Sox tonight at the Bank, 7:10. Tickets start at $7. The Bears are in Green Bay for a kickoff at 7:20 Sunday night. And as we mentioned earlier, Northwestern's home against Duke. The home football season starts at 11 a.m. I'll be there starting at 9.
Nice! The Throwback Music Fest is going on Friday through Sunday at 6100 North Milwaukee. That's right at Elston in Milwaukee. It's all retro tunes, third annual. So, you know, they've been doing it for a while.
I guess you got to go to MLB.com for tickets to the Billy Joel concert. Maybe there's other ways to get him, but he's at Wrigley Field tonight. Billy Joel plays Wrigley Field tonight at 8 o'clock.
Tickets. That's probably a good show. The best show to see at Wrigley.
You think so?
Yeah, it just seems right.
No, I'd be that. I agree, and I think it will be fun. I'm going to walk over and probably listen to some of that tonight. You can do that. Just stand outside and watch the stands from the outside. You don't see anything, but you can sometimes hear pretty well. It's at 8 o'clock tonight. $54 to go to that. Give me one more.
Well, we also have the Waukegan Air and Water Show going on. That is tomorrow at noon at Beach Road and Lewis. It's $15 tickets at the door. Free parking though. So that's going to be exciting.
Time for The Bright Side. This is where you call or text 312-981-7200. Tell us something good in your life that's making you smile. What's your bright side? What's making you happy? It can be big or small. 312-981-7200. The Bright Side, sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. Call or text now. Here's our little song on Friday.
Some things in life are bad.
The Bright Side.
They can really make you mad.
Call me, call me, call me.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
312-981.
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
7200.
That grumble, give a whistle.
Get ready.
And this'll help things
turn out. It's sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. Sing at home.
And always look on the bright side of life.
Whistle, Kevin.
Always look on the light side of life.
Kind of really laid into you there. I didn't give you any cover. If life seems jolly. Hi, Kevin's Westland. What's your bright side, Kevin?
I'm just pumped. Football is back, baby, at all levels. High school football tonight. Cats are back tomorrow in Evanston. And Sunday night, get your chili recipe out. Get your beers cold. Get your crock pot out. Bears, Packers, Sunday night football. Let's go.
My bright side, what he said.
Similarly, I like the sweater weather. I'm digging a hoodie today.
So the weather is your bright side, Bill?
Yeah, I like gloomy rain.
You know what it was good for, this bad weather starting Labor Day weekend, was that if you did want to power through the next season of Ozark, you had easy reason to do it. So yeah. If you're just thinking about, I want to binge a show, this weather's good for that, I'll say that.
I'm watching Young and Hungry right now.
You don't have to be out doing anything. The weather's lousy. All right. Read a text or two. Let's get going. What do we got?
708 says they're going to see Billy Joel tonight, actually. And then also another text saying they're bringing their baby boy home from the hospital.
Hooray. Hey, Kelly, why are you smiling? You're on WGN.
I'm also going to see Billy Joel tonight.
Yeah. You're a big Billy Joel fan?
Very big Billy Joel fan. And there's a group of 10 of us. So nice. Right on the field. We should be having fun.
When you're feeling, have a great time. Thanks for the call. Read another one.
773, my bright side is I get to listen to WGN, and I'm expecting my sixth great-grandchild.
Hey, Mike, why are you smiling? You're on the air.
All right. My wife and I and two siblings are just left home going to Disney World.
Woo-hoo. Are you on your way to the airport, or are you going to drive the whole way?
We're driving the whole way. I'm the big kid.
Have a good time. Hey, Judy, this is John. Why are you smiling? You're on the air. Judy.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm smiling because I'm going to be in a ballroom dance competition next Friday and Saturday, and I'm dancing four dances. And I'm really celebrating because 4 years ago I was in a coma, and ballroom dancing got me back and moving, and now I can dance for an hour straight without having to sit down.
Boy, look at you. Look at you. Life is good, huh?
Hey, man. No, I can't do any better than this.
One more. Hey, Richard, you're on WGN. Then we'll read some more texts. You're on GN.
Hey, I'm very thankful because I've got this amazing wife, and we're sitting here in the car listening to you guys, and every single day, she just cracks me up, and it just brings so much happiness to me.
What a nice call.
Oh, I love him.
Give me another bright side.
815 says, I just brought the winning ticket to the McHenry VFW Queen of Hearts raffle. I can dream, can't I?
Yeah, no kidding. I believe, gosh, what is that? It was $4.5 million. That's close to $10 million now.
It's up there.
I had the number, doggone it. Give me another one.
847, they won tickets to Legally Blonde right here at WGN.
Hey, Wendy, where are you going? You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Oh, I'm calling from Elizabeth, Illinois, and I'm going to Lavinia for the first time tomorrow night to see Tony Bennett with a childhood friend.
Oh, that's a fun show. It's a fun time. Have a great time.
Thank you.
Hey, Sandy, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Sandy?
Well, it was about my son getting married last weekend, but I really like that guy whose wife cracks him up. That really kind of made my day.
Well, then you got two reasons to smile today, don't you?
I do, and another one. My family came, my family didn't make a scene, and my family left, and we all still love each other. That's the thing.
All right, read another one.
847, my husband and I are flying to Washington, D.C. this evening to watch the Cubs, and we packed a W flag.
Hey, Susan, you're on WGN. What's your good news?
My good news is that I am rid of my evil husband, and I'm over cancer.
Well, then, then you've got a clean road ahead of you now, don't you, Susan?
I hope so.
Love is in the air today. 630 says, my bright side is I'm in love. Always
look on the right. Hey, Ann, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Ann?
Yesterday, our baby boy, Zachary, turned 6 months old. So the last 6 months have been filled with lots and lots of bright sides.
Hey, Mindy, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
I'm on my way to Kim and Kyle's wedding up in Deerfield.
Do we know Kim and Kyle?
Kim and Kyle is my nephew.
I see. Happy days to y'all. Congratulations to them.
Thanks.
I thought she was going to say Kim and Kanye.
I know. I thought, holy cow, let's take this call. It's Kim and Kyle. They live in the suburbs. One more.
847 says, I bought kale in the middle of the day. I love being retired.
Amen to that. On Fridays, we say, tell us some good news in your world. Isn't it nice that we get all of these calls and texts and we don't even begin to scratch the surface? Thank you for that. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis, what's the weekend planned or the Friday show for you guys?
Hi, John.
Hey. Those are two good questions. I want to call in to Brightside.
Why?
Because you have one?
I do. Well, I rarely do.
That's unlike you.
Ro, is that you?
Looking at the bright side of life?
My name is Ron, and the bright side. The bear season starts on Sunday, yeah. And I'm going to be there.
I think
I can't wait up in Green Bay.
Kevin spoke for a lot of us. I was so glad he just said, the only thing you need is football's back. There's a part of me that doesn't want to love football because these people are all going to die young, and I feel bad about that. But also, it's part
of all going to die young.
Have you guys switched places?
Plenty of people are just fine who played football. Majority of the people who have played football are just fine.
Okay, I take it all back.
Keep that in mind. Football's back, John. Let's just think about beer and chili and nachos.
I know.
Being idiots and watching people hit each other.
Yeah, that's
queso.
We're there for a reason, John. We're there for a reason. We're enjoying this. And last night, it was what a great game. To open the season, it was just like the NFC Championship game last year. It came down to the last play,
divisional game. Yeah, it's Philly's divisional defense game. Is crazy. A little sloppy for the opener, but man, it was a great finish.
Yeah,
that Philly defense is something, though.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it's good to see everybody back and people still upset and wailing and gnashing of teeth about this. I just want to be able to enjoy my shoes and my football and not have to worry that the president is going to call for an investigation of me. That is what I am just trying to do here.
You see Ro on a lie detector test.
Rokan's overrated.
Did you see that new thing is that they want to get him to the next? The question should be not did you write it, but have you ever had a conversation about the 25th Amendment with anybody in the White House? And they would want to ask all those people that question.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a different question than I imagined. I thought it'd be the first one. I mean, probably everybody in the White House has talked about the 25th Amendment. Right?
You would think so. In some
context. Which one is that again?
Hey, I'm out of the way. All right. You guys have a really good show.
Thank you.